Hello and welcome to Data by the Slice.
This is a podcast and video series covering a broad range of topics related to data.
We will speak with interesting people who know a thing or two about data and who live and breathe data on a daily basis.
Our guests are professionals with whom we'll talk about what it's like to design, implement and operate data-related frameworks, tools and approaches in the real world.
We'll talk about data management, software development, service design, public clouds and many other things, including trendy topics like data mesh. Our goal is to hear how these work in a real life.
Our intent is also to get to know our guests, where they come from, what they've learned along the way and where they see themselves and the world going. I am your co-host, Lasse.
And I'm your co-host, Antti. Take a comfortable position, get a drink, and have a slice of data with us.
A warm welcome to this episode of Data by the Slice. It is indeed warm, as summer has arrived here in Finland. We skipped spring and moved straight into summer and wearing t-shirts and shorts. Antti, how are you coping with the heat wave in Tampere?
Well, I love it. You know, when you get sun and warmth at these latitudes, you have to take it all in. And I actually think our today's guest feels the same way, as she's joining us from her summer cottage.
Indeed. Our guest today is Minna Kärhä, Data and Analytics Lead at Finnair. Minna is someone I've known for a few years now, and she was in fact my first customer as a consultant. So I'm obviously really thrilled, excited to have her joining us with this ongoing turbulence in the airline industry for the last year or so. Minna has had the opportunity to study, read, share her thoughts about data and data management on many forums. I've read her blogs. I know she's spoken at events. She's done interviews and podcasts and whatnot. So all of these types of activities have helped her. All right. Welcome, Minna, to Data by the Slice. This is episode number 3, and it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Lasse.
We're going to start off the same way we start all of these off, with a simple question of how did you get into data?
Well, my very first touch point to data was late 90s when I was still studying. I was reading my co-student's thesis, and she had written about data warehousing. That was the first time I heard about the topic, but it was very interesting. And a few years later, I had then the opportunity to actually have a key role in building a new data warehouse for a media company sales organization. So that's when I actually got my hands on the topic. And ever since, I have been enthusiastic about how data can help businesses and transform businesses. So that's
excellent. Excellent. We all have different backgrounds. What is the coolest data-related initiative that you worked on in your career so far?
I think it's very hard to pick just one. I would say that basically every time there has been some clear and concrete business outcome, something has data has helped somehow to make a better decision or build a service or something like that. I think that is a cool initiative. So, for example, being part of a team building insights and recommendations for media advertisers, and those being part of the media products that are sold then to the customers, or building the data customer data platform for an airline. So these kind of initiatives, I think, have been super cool.
Excellent. And on the topic and difficulty of picking one, in the next question, you again have to choose one. We asked this from all our guests. Which camp do you come from? Do you come from the monolithic data management camp or from the microservice-based software developer camp? Again, you have to choose one.
Yeah. So looking at my background, I do have to say the monolithic data management camp. Purely because of the journey I have lived through. So I have started really from the traditional central data warehousing environment. However, I do not believe in monolithic approach now. So fully centralized governance for me is not the right approach for modern world. So as I have lived through the cultural change, data becoming the central fuel for all the businesses, I believe that driven by digital transformation, I have become the advocate of a decentralized model for sure.
Yes, that's an excellent answer to pick one, and then we're touching upon both. That's perfect. To continue on the topic, I think a lot of that kind of transition is happening, and one of the key topics that we have in this podcast is data mesh. When did you first hear about data mesh, and what was your initial reaction to it?
Yeah, I believe the very, very first time was probably some years back. I think it was in a Gartner event that I heard the term. And at that moment, I did not pay too much attention to the terminology itself, but the idea of managing data as a product was very interesting to me. And it also supported the thinking that we need to really rethink and renew the thinking and approach around traditional data management, as data is becoming and already is in all the veins of the organization and everywhere in the business. So this traditional or old way of thinking that there can be a centralized team and centralized governance is not really feasible for modern world and is not something in the digital transformation that should be supported anymore. But we really need to renew the thinking. And now our recent updated data strategy that I have been working with has a clear focus on the distributed responsibilities to be strengthened and empowered across organization. We have been working on nurturing and kind of implementing this thinking for a while, and now we have finally managed to actually formulate a strategy out of it.
Excellent. There's a couple of things that you mentioned there. So you talked about data mesh as a distributed system, which obviously it is, and you talked about the concept of data products, and also in your case, you're taking it up to the level of like actually being part of the strategy. How would you describe data mesh yourself?
I think it's first of all, it's distributing the responsibility of having usable data products to the places where the data is actually and those products are created, and having the ownership as a natural part of the business value chain that the data is producing, recognizing and treating the data as a business asset, as a product, implementing same principles to manage it as there are to manage any other products or any other business assets. So there needs to be a clear purpose for that data product. There needs to be users for that data product. The data product needs to always add more value than is the cost of maintaining and developing it. And it needs to have a clear vision and roadmap, and it needs to improve or be improved over time.
That's really interesting definition, that it has to create more value than it's actually costing. Never really thought about it that way, but of course that makes a lot of sense. If you have to build it and it's not bringing any value, or it's bringing less value than the cost of maintaining it, of course it doesn't make sense. That's a really good way to put it.
It was also interesting, your first sentence in the response was it's about distributing responsibility. I know a lot of people who would start by saying it's a distributed architecture or it's a system of distribution, but you use the word responsibility, which is it's a refreshing view, because the architecture might be something else, but it's about the responsibility. That's a good way to put it. Do you have an example, by the way, of how do you assess the value of a data product? So how do you know whether it is generating more value than cost?
Yeah, of course, that is not a simple and easy thing to do, but I would say that anyway, there needs to be a clear purpose for that product to exist. And let's say, for example, if the data product would be a customer profile, customer 360 data asset. Of course, the cost is coming from collecting and storing and then processing the data and then distributing it to various processes. So that's the cost side of that, including all the work of people also included, and the infrastructure and licenses and so forth. And then the value should be also measured. So does it add value for being able to share that information about customer to the right points in the business process? So I think the kind of traditional value chain thinking also applies here. It doesn't make any sense to do all the work on collecting, capturing and collecting and processing and storing the data and even sharing it if then at the final stage it's not really any difference whether you have the information at hand or not. So if it's not really driving any efficient business decision, or it's not providing any nicer user experience for the customer in the service, then what's the value? There's no value.
If we think that everything has to be for a business case, there has to be a value in the end. Can we actually do anything before there is a use case? So does it make sense to put data in a place for possible use cases in the future, as we have maybe more in a traditional world have tried to do, that we have tried to pull all the data into a central place so that in the future we can make connections and do this kind of stuff? But I kind of hear that we should always think about the business case, and therefore, can we do that kind of predictions anymore?
There's always room for innovation, and innovation is very important. But on the other hand, I also don't see a real benefit of storing something just for the sake of storing it, so that maybe in the future someone might come up with a great use case. I think the use cases for data are anyway huge, and I personally don't feel that there would be a big risk of missing out something incredible if you don't store and collect all the possible data. Think for example like very huge volumes of data, like some IoT type of sensor data and events, and you wouldn't really know what you would need all of that, but you would anyway start storing all the history, and that's a huge cost. And there's also other things. It's not just the storage cost, but also some security and these kind of things might come into hand. So it might be a huge work for storing all that history. And then there's only a small possibility that maybe at some point somebody comes up with a good plan of how to use it. So I don't see a reason for simply storing everything just for the future.
Yeah, and there's a good point about, and security is one of them, and obviously compliance, all the legal
exactly.
aspects, because
yeah.
you get a lot of responsibilities and they have indirect cost with time.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's a good point. It sounds like there's an area also for like sort of these innovation methodologies to be applied, whether it is innovation accounting or like lean startup type of approaches to how you work with data to quickly prove the value of it. We talked about distributed systems, or you used the term distributed responsibility. Do you think the world is ready for this approach? Which type of organizations does this thinking fit better, or which organizations does it not fit? Do you have any views on that?
Well, I think to start with, the data mesh requires the organization to forget the old data management methods because simply they don't scale for the future. It also requires giving power away from the central governance and the central teams, so trusting the rest of the organization, and always, of course, giving power away means that the team that has been responsible centrally on governing everything needs to not only trust others but also accept that they are not anymore in full control. Of course, with the trust and power comes always the accountability and responsibility as well. So there needs to be a focus on orchestrating the accountability and responsibility across the organization. And then simply bringing teams and individuals together. So creating the visibility and understanding how each data product impacts the rest of the organization. So when I am the owner of the data product, I have certain accountability and responsibility, and I also need to understand how my product impacts the rest of the organization. So what value does it provide there? So I think these are the very fundamental elements that need to be accepted first in the organization. And if there is no readiness or willingness to give the power away or take the accountability or responsibility, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So it's about distributing the responsibility, and it's about trust. It's really interesting that we talk about very technical thing in the end, but we come back to quite human topics in the end.
It's always
it's all
people.
Yeah. It's people and how they interact with each other. Have you seen, or are you seeing sort of an evolution of roles within an organization with this approach? Because as you said, it's not just a centralized function now, it's distributed. So what's your view on, are there some new roles evolving or emerging that you think organizations should be thinking about?
Yeah, I see that there's gradually some new roles, and especially on those really forerunning companies, there are more like data domain or data product focused roles like data asset owners, or they could be called data management leads, but then they would be specifically for a certain data domain or for a certain organization unit or function and their data. So these kind of roles I see on LinkedIn every now and then, and I think they are becoming, there are more and more of those coming, but it's still in the very early phases. I would say it's still very natural in majority of the discussion that taking care of the data and managing the data and providing the data and or even the insights from the data for business users is mainly responsibility either of IT or central data team or similar function. So there is a change happening, but it's very in the early phases still.
What do you think in the future? Because a lot of the applications, of course, hold the data and they generate the data, and many of the applications actually have the application owner, and of course these applications owners do know how the data is stored, how it's persisted, why it's in a format that it is. Do you see that these application owners could actually converge with the data owners or information owners in some time in the future?
I think the application owner has a key role there, but I don't think they are the right party or right role for actually being the data product owner. I see the data product as something separate from the IT architecture and possibly also separate from the business processes. So, for example, at Finnair, where I have been working previously, we have identified data domains that actually break the organizational silos and uh, For example, customer being one data domain data asset, and the customer data is generated in various IT systems. It's used in various business processes by different units, but for the business value for the whole company, we together identified that it's valuable to have one data asset owner who is in control of the whole customer data asset, providing, building and developing it as a product, and then providing the data from through that product to all the different processes where it's needed. And I think that's the layer that is relatively new, but it's starting to be more on the focus now. Is that earlier or originally there has been the business processes and then the supporting IT systems, but I see there in between or in as a third part of this combination, there should be also thinking the data, not through the IT systems, nor through the organizational structure or functions or individual processes, but more like which are the data products, the data elements we need in order to run our business efficiently. And that's something that should be then the data products and the data owners' responsibility.
It's an interesting view of, and a relevant one too, about sort of data being that new emerging layer in between. Ante and I have had a lot of these philosophical debates about whether the data should be owned by the application that generates it, and does data even exist without the application? And I don't know if it's a question that can be answered with a simple binary answer, but there's you know, sides to all of this, and there's different contexts. Until we're going to continue that debate, I suppose, over the next few years. So earlier you also then you mentioned that, you know, the world is going towards this, and you believe in distributing responsibility. But then you also, I think you used the term orchestrating. So you talked about there also being things that you have to think about centrally. So what are the parts or responsibilities that you want to maintain central, and then what can be distributed? How do you think about that divide?
I think the central part should be what is really critical. So I think the first thing is to start thinking that what should be common for all in order to be able to connect, combine, use the various data products efficiently in all parts of the organization and connect them together. And the principles or rules and the governance needed to ensure that all those data products are compatible, those should be governed centrally so that there is a one clear owner who makes sure that all those data product owners and other roles that impact on creating and maintaining those products and using those products are fully aware of the common rules and principles, are trained and get enough support to do their work. And then rest is basically up to each product owner to figure out what's the best way of working for them. So not trying to build too heavy governance that everybody needs to fit their work into, but just making sure that kind of the bones are keeping the structure in place and helping to maintain the compatibility and consistency that is critical.
Right.
Very theoretical answer.
Yeah. I guess one way to say is that the parts that are domain agnostic should be centralized, and the ones that are specific to the domains that are very heavily related to the data product itself and to the domain working, those of course have to be done close there.
Exactly.
One central concept of the data mesh is that is of course a data product, as you mentioned about it. How do you kind of elaborated what how do you see what the data product is? Like you were talking about the customer and this kind of maybe we can call them aggregate data products because they come from multiple different applications and form that very central data asset. Do you see the data products in another way? And then how do you interact with the data products once they have been created?
Yeah, I think there are several type of data products. So like I said, it can be the customer 360 data asset that provides a comprehensive, well-managed visibility to customer through set of data. It can be also a recommendation model providing next best action for a specific business process or for business processes. For example, when something happens, for example, if a sales event occurs, then it can provide some recommendation for the next part of the process processes, or it can be a customer master. So combining data from various sources and generating the golden record, and then the golden record can be thought as a data product, and providing then this single source of customer to various business use cases. So I think it can be many different, or there can be many different viewpoints what can be a data product, but what should be, in my thinking, common to those is that there's always a clear description of what is it meant to be doing, what's the purpose of it, and then so that's basically it.
Who do you think should own these data sets? Like, if we think about the customer 360 or some aggregated data set that is produced out of multiple applications, who owns that data set? Where does it land in the organization?
So usually when it's something that is central, something that is like a common for many, like this customer 360, and in my recent work at Finnair, like I said, we defined that customer data asset is a central asset that does not naturally fall into any existing organization, team or function, and therefore we nominated a new role called customer data asset owner. Because if you would give that kind of responsibility to a team that has also another type of responsibility, let's say if the team is responsible of loyalty customers and loyalty memberships, and their goal is to make sure that we have as many loyalty members as or most of our customers become loyalty members. They have already one purpose as a team, one goal as a team. It's not going to be easy to then also make them as a central customer 360 data asset product owners, as that is a bit different, and partly could say even conflicting with their current responsibility. So therefore, if there is no natural place in the existing organization where the ownership of the data product would fall into, then there should be a new role established. But if it is a product that naturally falls into existing team's responsibility already, for example, if the loyal if there is a data product called loyalty customer something, then it would of course be responsibility of the loyalty team to also deliver this type of data product for others to use.
Yeah, so that and that makes sense. And but that is quite interesting because in when we talk about data mesh, it's heavily based on the principle of distributing everything to the domains. But what if there is this data product or data set that doesn't fall naturally into one domain, it is multi-domain, then how do you tackle this? And what you're saying is that you've developed or you've actually organized so that there is a new role that can deal with these multi-domain products. And that's, you know, something we also see. But then you might still need to translate that multi-domain, let's say it's customer. It might mean slightly different things in the different sort of business domains, but that's fine. You still have clear ownership of the cross domain customer definition. Also want to mention early when you talked about data products, earlier in this series, when I think it was when we had our a chat with Steve, he mentioned that sort of an Achilles heel of data mesh is it talks very sort of it talks about data products in a almost like a casual way and doesn't really fully appreciate how complex this definition of a data product is, and that it's widely understood in different ways. And but I liked how you sort of made it very concrete. Data product can be the golden record of customer, or it can be the next best action recommendation through an API, or it can be something else. But data products can be very, very diverse and different beasts, so to say, and it's up to the organization to define those.
Yeah, and I think for the going forward, and maybe that's also part of the becoming data empowered or really thinking or data being the real business asset and recognizing it as such, it's really about also accepting that maybe the current organizational structure or current IT architecture is not fully in line what we want from managing the data and being also ready to then change those components as well and not just trying to push data to the existing business or the organization structure or the IT architecture. And then maybe another thing that I've also talked about is that data needs to be seen as separate from the IT systems, although we all know that majority of the data is actually born and created in the IT systems, but we shouldn't consider data as being the output of the IT system. So instead of talking about that we have Salesforce data, we should actually implement the thinking and the language to the organization that we actually talk about customer data or sales data or something that is conceptually something we always need, because the systems will change. We will replace existing IT systems with new systems, but the data and the concept of the data needs to remain and needs to live longer than each individual technical system.
Yeah, decouple the system from the data, and you know how much of our data language and terminology hasn't been developed by specific large enterprise software. It's how we've learned. We've touched on this topic of data governance or governance already a little bit, and you talked about the challenges or the questions of sort of moving to a distributed system, how you have to trust the different teams, the different domains to do the right thing. How have you personally approached it? Because you've been in a role where you've sort of had this central mandate and control, but then you've sort of learned to let go. And I'm especially also like those of us, myself included, who come from the monolithic camp. This is for us also sort of a personal growth journey. How did this feel for you? How did you approach this?
Yeah, one thing that at Finnair we did actually already 3 years ago when I started there, we actually defined those data. We call data assets, but I see them also as data products in a way. And we defined a role called data asset owner, and we recruited three people whose main role was at the time to actually be responsibility. One was for the customer data asset, one for products and services related, and then for our aircraft and network was the third one. And that was kind of the first step to really show to the organization that, hey, here's a new role. This is what the role is role's purpose is, and then setting up the governance so that central role is leading the dialogue, bringing all the different users of the data and creators of the data around the same table and having that dialogue. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, the hit was super hard for an airline, and we our organization changed quite dramatically last year, and currently we don't have those roles in place, but I still believe that those are roles that are critical for at least for this type of organization where there are really these central data elements, data products that are critical for various units to be able to use in a consistent manner. And then when I also see that it is a challenge to first of all make sure that the ones who get the ownership and accountability and responsibility also understand what it means, so that it's not just something on the PowerPoint slide that, hey, now you have this role and or in another format and then nothing happens. So it's really about change management as well, and empowering those people that it's both the power of being in control and managing your own part of the data, but then also understanding what does it mean in terms of accountability and responsibility, because there are a lot of other parties in the organization who are depending on the product, on the outcome of that, and as the purpose of any product is that it is bringing value to the customers, to the users who need it. It's also a change to the actual central teams, and I have seen that sometimes it is really painful for those people who are used to being the ones who check everything and are in control of everything to actually let go and allow others also on the same playground. And there's sometimes a lot of very valid points, like how can if I give control to others, then I cannot be responsible of that anymore. Yeah, that's fine. It's of course nobody can be solely responsible of somebody else's work, but that's exactly the thing that needs to happen, that we find the balance together, that the what part is that centrally governed thing, how to enable those distributed roles to then work together with the centrally governed part. So it is, and I still think it's the technology and architecture. It's also simple to draw the architecture picture for this, like, okay, here's the data product and here's the technology and that. But I would say that it's even 80-90% of the people and how to make them understand and feel comfortable and learn together and then change the behavior. That's really the key point. Otherwise, it will not, the architecture itself will not change anything.
Yeah, I mean, just a question about what you said that you hired people to be the data stewards or the information owners. Do you see that? Does it have to be a full-time job? Can someone have it as a part-time? Can it be a part-time job at a company?
When it's totally new role, I would argue that it needs to be full time for two reasons. Usually there is just so much work to be done because again, it's a lot about impacting when taking a new role in the organization. It's all about also impacting others, starting to build that partnership and collaboration and governance and all that. So it is a huge job. And on the other hand, if it's one part of somebody else's job, then I haven't seen I would argue that I have seen in any organization somebody who just have some extra time. So usually people already have their hands full and just giving this kind of a new task, which is it's fairly important. They will not have enough time to actually work on it. And the worst thing that might happen then is that they don't have the time and somehow the opportunity then dies because anybody doesn't believe because nothing happened. So, okay, so this person was nominated as the data product owner, but nothing happened. So what's changed? So, of course, if you already are a owner of a, if it very naturally the data product again falls into somebody's existing role, then that can be, of course, something that is then highlighted and trained and somehow really raised that this person is now also responsible of this area from this aspect. But I would be very careful in not expecting that it's just a simple task to be given to somebody.
Right, good, really good point. So give the role of a fair chance, like a proper chance to succeed, which requires it to have enough time and mandate and all of those things. But if, as you said, if it naturally falls into someone's current role, then you know that might be an easy path. But still, you have to make sure that you have the priorities and the goals and objectives well defined. Really good point. One of the topics we work with you is around data catalogs, and they're part of governance and this whole distributed system or distributed organization. What is your view of data catalog? What is their role in your opinion?
I would say that they are the most central tool for this type of distributed data management, and I would recommend always to start first for the whole organization. So basically starting from making the data, the existing data, visible. I would say that that way it will help to understand, first of all, where governance activities will make most value. It would probably also help to identify those centrally managed components. So what should be managed centrally and what should be then managed in the domains, because it gives the clarity and visibility to the existing data, and it can also provide visibility to what data is used and searched for. And then it can also be the tool to actually understand which data set should be engineered or which new product should we develop based on the use. And I think it's also important to acknowledge that the data catalog should be much more than just a technical data dictionary. I see sometimes that people talk about data catalog, they actually only talk about the technical data dictionary part, so having the visibility to the actual views and tables and data sources. So I see it is also about providing the common language to the organization, so having the business glossary in the data catalog tool, providing terminology and kind of cross-organizational same understanding and language when talking about data and data products. It can also provide visibility to data value chains, so it can show the data lineage from the point moment where the data is born to all the moments where it's used, and that way it creates a visibility to what impact does a specific data product or data source have in the organization, who are using it, and if we change it, then where is it impacting? And many of the data catalogs also have the data discovery functionality. So when that is enabled, then it also creates visibility, and you can analyze how the data is actually used and what sets are combined, and that gives then concrete tools for focusing the centrally governed data management initiatives to the right places.
Yeah, this is actually very similar to what me and Lasse have been talking, that especially if you go into data mesh or distributed approach in general,
exactly.
Typically you want something, you want to have something once it's needed. But I think data catalog is one of those tools that should be in place, even though you wouldn't have a single data source in it. Just because once you have the first one, you want to have a place where to put it. And I also see that it's a great way to market the data. You know, if you have one single place where you can discover the different data assets, even if there's one, next day there's two, maybe in a week there's four, and you know, there it goes. You can simply say to people, you know, go to this URL, go to this one place, and you can discover everything we have made available. And if there's something missing, let's contact the people and let's contact the information owners. Mm-hmm. Let's find that, and you know, let's go from there. So in a sense, it's kind of it's a place to enable these data products and these discoveries, these innovations in the future. Also, what I kind of hear you saying is that all of those things of what's the value of the data, what data sets are failing, which are not maybe up to the standards that you're after, data catalog makes them visible in a sense. Have you developed, or do you see a place how to develop some KPIs on the data assets through a data catalog? Do they fit together? Is there something to innovate around?
Yeah, that's a topic that has been a lot on the table lately, and I think it's very important to be able to show and measure the value. I see data catalog as the great tool to share information about the value and KPIs and trustworthiness of the data and so forth. But at least from the organizations that I've been talking to, nobody has really come up with like this silver bullet of this is how these are the KPIs for us to measure the value of data. And I think that's something that should be part of the, first of all, the data products need to be identified. They then need to have the real purpose description, why they exist, what's the purpose, who are they, what are they for, and then I would kind of from that start building the KPIs. Okay, so this is the purpose of this data product, and these are the metrics, key performance identifications that we follow to ensure that the quality is in place. So maybe it's again very tightly linked to the actual purpose and the definition of each data product, and then part of that is defining that how to measure the value and quality of this, and then making it visible in the data catalog, so that when you have the catalog of products, data products, then you can also understand which one you can use for which purpose. So of course, for some use cases, the let's say the quality or accuracy needs to be much in the more detailed or granular level than for other use cases. So these type of things can be also added there from the quality perspective, and then the value comes obviously also from how many users are actually using it and what value are they creating then.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess KPI, for example, to how many data sets we have in a data catalog, it's kind of, it might be driving in a wrong direction because you just put everything in there and it's not of any use, or as we discussed, it's not creating value. Can there be too much data in a data catalog?
Of course, if nobody is using it, I think the same applies that we earlier talked about. Should all the data be stored and history be stored forever, just in case? I also see that what is critical for data catalog, that it's useful, that it only has the information and data that is actually useful. So if you have like old data or articles or elements that nobody actually needs anymore, then don't have them there because they are just making it more complex to find the correct information. So it should be also, and actually that's one of those roles as well. So there needs to be somebody who is clearly responsible curating the content of the data catalog, making sure content is always up to date, and whatever information is there about the stewards or responsible people, that those people actually work still for the company and so forth. So I think that's very critical as well.
Great. There's I need to mention, because I've worked with data catalogs quite a lot, and to me the interesting part of them is the fact that they are these data community portals, because there's no other system that connects the whole data ecosystem and the people better than data catalogs. So, you know, having worked on cases that are about productivity boost and about building this data community and faster onboarding, better analytics, mitigating risk of when people leave, and compliance, GDPR aspects. But there was something, Minna, you mentioned in your very first response, which was that a data catalog can actually inform how you organize efforts and teams and data sets. And to me, I'm like, oh wow, that's a massive revelation. I haven't thought about data catalogs being used to that extent in sort of informing what you do. But I think it makes complete sense. You obviously need to have a little bit of history and data in the data catalog to be able to get there. Great. Cool. We're gonna start sort of closing the conversation with some of our recurring topics again. So we do these things all the time in these conversations. The first one is the question from our previous guest, Ronnie, who essentially wants you, Minna, to look at your crystal ball and predict the future. Ronnie's asking, what do you think will be the biggest change or difference in the field of data and analytics in the next few years? And what will be different? What is going to change?
Well, I think everything that we have been discussing now is still in the very early phases, and I think there's lot to be happening there already. And few years, things tend to change relatively slow. Having worked on this domain for something like 17 years now, I mean, looking back to the 17 years ago, of course, many things have changed, but it's not like dramatic change. So kind of this business-driven data governance that we have also partly discussed now about the distributed, but I also see shift from the technology or IT-led governance to more business-driven governance. So business owning the governance and rules and all that. So not it doesn't come from the technology or compliance, but more from the business value perspective. And I think that's something that has been recently discussed a lot in the data circles that I'm obviously involved a lot, and obviously it will take time to get stuck in the actual business agendas, but I already see that those new roles, like the data product owners or the data management leads, and those kind of roles are gradually being recruited. And so I see that maybe that is something, area where there will be changes specifically happening in the next few years. So really focusing on the business-driven governance and the business roles taking more leadership, kind of the data management shifting away from the IT and technology more towards becoming the business mainstream thing.
It's a good prediction. So if you're a headhunter or work with recruitment, then there's something for you to start thinking about. Minna, what is your question that you think we should ask our next guest?
Yeah, I was thinking that since I already mentioned that the common language is one of the major success factors in any transformation, and we all know that the BI and analytics tool vendors advertise a lot. They're easy to use tools for anyone to do their own data discovering and data science and sharing that then to their colleagues and peers. And so I was thinking that how could these tool vendors also support the common language and business glossary so that the citizen data scientist can actually understand and reduce or reuse what they have, what others have built, or are they already, do you think they are already doing it? So how do these self-service BI tools support the common language and business glossary usability features, or do they already do that?
Excellent question. Cool. And we can hopefully take that up with some of the software companies too. And we didn't even talk about citizen data science, another topic I feel passionate about, but maybe we'll do that another time. Cool. Is there anything new that you have learned about data mesh or distributed systems or data management now during this conversation? Any new insight for you?
I think in general, it's very interesting how the organization structure has a huge impact on how the architecture looks, and kind of that there's the architecture approach and the organizational structure approach, and then kind of bringing this data element into it. And so I've also understood that usually the organization structure is designed first, and then the processes, and then maybe the data at some point. And I believe that this data mesh is one way of highlighting also the data side, data view to the combination. And then maybe another thing that I kind of raised my thinking when talking with you about the data mesh was that the data ops and data mesh, and how are they linked together. And I think they are two things that very well complement each other and approach the same challenge and same need for transformation from two different angles.
Yeah, that's the organizational structure and that effect on the sort of systems you build and the services you create. It goes back to Conway's law. That was in 1970, I think, when he coined it. It's been a while ago, and we're still kind of, you know, learning about it and struggling a bit about it and trying to fit those two together. So it's really interesting. Let's see when we finally get to get around that.
Yeah.
And finally, the final question is, do you have any reading or viewing tips for our listeners, something they should study maybe this summer?
Yeah, this topic has definitely been close to my heart for a while, and I have recently read two very good books about the data-driven or business-driven data governance. So first one is called Getting in Front on Data by Thomas Redman, and it's explaining which roles are needed and what they should do, and then it's highlighting the importance of this distributed cross-functional collaboration and having the different roles on the organization and business working together and making sure that the data is taken care of in the front of the of its life cycle and not at the middle or the end. And another one is called Disrupting Data Governance by Laura Madsen. And I really liked it because it's really shaking the traditional data governance thinking and methods. And it's also giving valuable viewpoints why they do not work and what should be done instead. So it's also very practical book. So I recommend both of those.
Awesome. Excellent. We'll put the links in the information as well, so everyone can find them. Well, thank you very much, Minna. It's been, for me at least, it's been both inspiring and educational. So I've gotten a lot of this conversation. It's great to have you on Data by the Slice again. And I look forward, obviously, to seeing you at some point again. But thank you so much, Minna, for being with us today.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Hey guys, I'll see
you. Well, Lasse, there was a lot of topics and interesting ideas that we covered with Minna. Was there something that stood out to you?
Lots of things. Obviously, as a data catalog enthusiast, I reacted to some of her comments on data catalogs. There are two key points that stood out for me. One, she mentioned that she wished she had started with the data catalog before building the rest of the data platform or the data ecosystem. Two, she also mentions using the data catalog and its information to organize efforts, to organize people and data. Those are pretty big and bold statements considering how, first of all, data catalogs are typically an afterthought for most organizations, and also they're seeing as a sort of metadata catalogs, metadata management, with fairly limited scopes. So yeah, really interesting thoughts. What about you?
Well, I do agree. I think especially when we start looking at distributed systems, the data catalog really steps out. So those are really interesting points. One thing that stood out to me was Minna highlighted that there needs to be, you know, this, you need to let go and you need to trust people from let's say from a traditional data management central perspective. And this is something that I have run into a few times when working with customers, that when you start looking at distributing the data management out, it's become scary to some. And I think this relates to another point that Minna talked about, that what do you centralize and what do you distribute? What is the border between those? So how do you guide and govern these domains, but give them freedom to work with the data and at the same time create standards and common ways of working with data so that it's easy to use data and sort of build upon the data that you have? And a lot of the data management is about finding these limits, you know, the balance between what should be centralized and what should be distributed.
Yeah, really good point. And this whole concept of, or the idea of letting go, it keeps coming up in these conversations. So this was our third interview and third episode of our series. At the time of recording right now, we don't yet know who our next guest will be, but we do have a few ones or ideas in the pipeline. At the same time, we're also approaching summer holiday season here in the Nordics, so it might be a bit of a break until we publish our next episode. But make sure you like, subscribe, follow, and you know all that stuff so that you can stay updated on what happens next. We also really, really, truly appreciate ratings and feedback as they help shape this series going forward. Antti, how are you feeling about this so far? It's been pretty exciting for us getting started with this.
Yeah, I mean, at least for me, there has been a lot of new insight and a lot of new thoughts, provoking ideas from the field of data and data management. And I really hope that your listeners feel the same way. And just, I hope to talk to you soon.
Indeed. Okay, it's good stuff. One thing I just realized is that we ourselves, we have not yet answered that first question that we ask all our guests, you know, the one about how we got into data. So maybe we'll leave that as a cliffhanger for the next episode so we get everyone to tune in again. So we will answer that question in the next episode. But that was it for today. As said, make sure you follow and subscribe so you know what happens next. For now, thank you, Minna, for joining us, and thanks everyone for tuning in and sharing a slice of data with us. Until next time, bye.